until Molly shows up. I decided to do two-minute presentations because there's one that I use specifically for my herbaceous ornamentals class. This is an identification class. You probably all have them where you have to learn the scientific names and how to grow many different plants. In this particular class, they have to learn how to grow or learn the scientific names, the common names, and culture of over 200 annuals and perennials, primarily focused on that. In the past few years, I've really focused on flashcards and having them create their own flashcards. Now, I know you all know what a flashcard is. This is not something new. You've had it since grade school, or if you learned a new language, it's something you've used before. I love them because they're simple. You can put pictures on them. They're mobile. You can take them wherever you go, and you can have them in many different forms. We've all seen the printed ones, created the printed ones. There's electronic versions of these as well. In my two-minute tip about flashcards, I wanted to remind us of a few basics. That the best way for flashcards to work is that they have to be created by the learner. I can go and get a bunch of flashcards, and I have an app where I have flashcards on plants, and I love for my students to use them, but I tell them I also want you to create them. I want you to create them on an index card. I want you to create PowerPoint presentations or go to StudyBlue or some of these other electronic flashcard creation kind of sites. If it's created by them, they're thinking about it, and when they're thinking about it, they're studying and potentially learning. So it's always a good thing. For them to work well, they have to be reviewed frequently. That's the mobility aspect. If they're on the bus between classes or that in time in between classes sitting in the hall, they can review 5 or 10 of these and make it work. The other thing that I want to remind us is that they have to be really relevant to the class. So it's important that they find some use for that particular concept or that plant, whether it's going to be used in a design or they're going to see it in the landscape. Some of those, you have to provide some sort of relevancy. Otherwise, it's just memorization of a term that may not be hooked with anything else or associated with anything else. I also have them expand this just a little bit and take those flashcards that they've created and start sorting them into categories. So sort them into plants that like wet soils or moist soils or plants that like dry soils. So they bring their flashcards to class or to lab and we start sorting into categories. And we kind of mix things up on spring blooming or fall blooming, those kinds of things. And then I ask them to do something really hard, and that's trade those flashcards with a peer for a week. Oftentimes they create these marvelous flashcards with a picture on one side that they've printed out or they've cut out from a magazine or whatever. They've done the scientific name or the common name on the other side. They might have a few little characteristics in the corner. So they spend some real time in this, and I tell them for a week you just trade that flashcard or those sets of flashcards with someone else, because it's important to trick our brains into seeing different pictures so it's not the same picture all the time, so that you do better on those ID quizzes that are coming up. This is the hardest concept for those to get across, because if they've spent a lot of time creating that flashcard, they don't want to give it to someone else who could lose it. So they always find someone who did an equally good job, so that they're getting good flashcards back and forth. They're highly selective on who they'll trade with. And we say, we'll just trade for a week, we'll just trade for a couple of days, and then you can get those back. So they're very attached to those flashcards. But it works really well. And something very simple concept and very easy for everyone to do. Okay, that was 2 minutes on flashcards. What questions do you have on flashcards?
Some of the flashcard apps allow you to share your sets. Mm-hmm. Are you encouraging students to share their sets?
Absolutely. We've always done that. So not only do they share their sets with each other, sometimes they create PowerPoint presentations, and then they share those with the class as well. Sometimes we'll even upload some of those presentations to our online class site if we can. Mm-hmm. So, yes. And it's great. The more flashcards they have, the more different ones they see, the better. Yes?
Are they assessed on their flashcard abilities at all? Is there any type of assessment? I mean, is it mandatory?
No, it's not mandatory. It's not mandatory. Generally, in the class, however, in Herbaceous Ornamentals, they recognize by the second week they need to have something like this after the first one or two quizzes. So it's not mandatory that they do it. I do have in this particular class what I call an effort portfolio that is mandatory. So they prove to me some of the things that they've done in their effort, meaningful and mindful effort, to study these plants. And flashcards are usually one component of that that they include, but they can include anything they want. So it generally works well. Yes?
Do you ever have them put plant samples for
the Yes, and some students will do that. They'll get a leaf and they'll kind of tape that. I also have what I call laminated herbarium specimens of plants that they can kind of look at. But yes, they'll also draw a leaf, take a photo of a leaf or a flower, whatever the case, and they'll press them. Mm-hmm. They can create their flashcard any way that they want. Sometimes it's just a scientific name on one side and a common name on another, and that's it.
Do you ever have to rein them in a little bit with their flashcards? I think some of mine go monkish on it and just start copying the information. You study, test yourself, ask yourself a question, write down the answer rather than just writing down what you've heard.
Right. And there are some that will kind of go to that extreme. I have these fact sheets that are created on different plants, and one student last fall just shrunk all the fact sheets to flashcard size. And so we had to have a little talk that was maybe a little too much information, that missing the point of the flashcards. And he needed a magnifier to read it. So, but I think they get it. I asked the students to show their flashcards in a lab, too, to share just so that they see what they look like, what they're doing in the first or second week, so that they get some ideas on maybe some cool things to do. And maybe that helps a little bit in reining in, okay, I'm spending a little too much time in creating this. Virginia?
So if it's not a required part, it's not mm-hmm.
Right. Right. And generally the first couple of weeks there'll be some that don't have it, and they'll see, we'll usually kind of team up or partner up, and they'll see how some other people are using their flashcards. Generally by the fourth or fifth week, almost everyone has at least a rudimentary set of flashcards that they've created. So, and some will be electronic, and they'll talk about sharing those electronic ones that they created. Others will just be half of an index card with the name on either side.
Is it sort of cumulative, so by the end of the semester you're bringing all of them, or are they just bringing the set you're working on?
What I generally find is they travel with multiple packs, yes. So in this particular class, they have a perennial section, which is like four or five groups of plants, and then an annual section to the class, which is another four or five groups. So they'll travel with that first half. So they'll be in their backpack this, you know, nice little stack of index cards, or they have their iPad with all of their different ones that they've created.
Did you do another 2 minutes on your effort portfolio?
Can I do another 2 minute on my effort portfolio? I might be able to. So my effort portfolio is something that I just started last year. I've been really working on mindful and meaningful effort. So I have my students in this particular class, where there's a lot of memorization, focus on what are they doing to study those particular plants. So we talk about, through the semester, during the lab, we talk about some different ways to trick your brain into learning or to study, in a sense. So we have these different components that we walk through. Flashcards is one of them. Another assignment that I have them do for 1 week is perennial poetry. So create a poem about a perennial. So sounds ridiculous, and it's usually very humorous. So they ID characteristics about a perennial, use the scientific name and the common name, and then I have them read them in a lab or a class. That humor helps remember something, and at least I know that they're going to get that one plant. So we kind of run through a couple of other things. Another thing that we do that usually ends up in the effort portfolio is something called perennial Flat Stanley. Remember Flat Stanley? So they download the Flat Stanley or Stanlia template color, and then they take to different places on a field trip and take pictures of this person that they've created, Flat Stanley, next to a perennial at a different garden, and then they include those, and they have to, you know, identify that particular perennial, and they include that in a perennial portfolio. So in the first few weeks of class, I give them some options on some different things that they do, some more unusual things to try and study or to learn plant names, and at the end of the semester, I tell them that I need to see 6 to 9 of these different mindful and meaningful effort activities to include in a portfolio, and they have to summarize it. So they have to summarize, did flashcards help? Did perennial Flat Stanley or perennial poetry help in my learning? And I often get these kind of interesting things. I really loved perennial poetry. I did it every week. You know, I picked one or two plants, or, you know, that was a total waste of my time. I realized I'm not good at poetry and I'm never going to be good at poetry, you know, those kinds of things. So that they're assessing their own learning and what's working and what isn't working for them in their effort. And then I have a little grid where they're tracking that effort and achievement as well. So that hopefully they see that if the more mindful and meaningful effort they put in, the higher their grade. So, or the better their grade. I don't know if that was 2 minutes or not, but yeah.
Do the students have access to a live plant, or are those your various species? Are they grown on campus or a greenhouse?
Well, with the herbaceous, it's taught in the fall, and they do have access to live plants at certain times of the season, right? We're lucky enough to have Ryman Gardens nearby, so we often do several tours there. So they get to see the fall and summer perennials. They're usually still looking pretty good. Some of the spring perennials may be gone. And then we grow all the annual plants in the greenhouse. So they do have an access to most plants. There's most a live sample. And then we have samples and vases that we keep in a florist cooler that they can check out and check, you know, kind of the close-ups. So I would say 75-80% they're looking at something live, at least for a little while. Some things don't last very long in a vase. Mm-hmm. Good questions.